The Real Issue, The Real Debates, an audio series on the Lincoln-Douglas debates, this time the fourth debate in Charleston with Rodney Davis and Douglas Wilson of the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College. Their book, The Lincoln-Douglas Debates, The Lincoln Study Center Edition, looks at all the existing debate texts and gives us a new, more accurate record of the words and ideas expressed by Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln, running for a seat in the U.S. Senate from Illinois in the summer and fall of 1858. It is September 18, 1858, a festive Saturday in Charleston, parades and banners, an imposing display of the et ceteras of a great campaign, wrote one newspaper. It's one of the smaller sites in the series, but drew one of the larger crowds. 12,000 to 15,000 came to town that day. The Chicago Tribune said that people were stifled with dust as soon as they got near the debate. Here's Rodney Davis of the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College with more on the fourth Lincoln-Douglas debate.
Charleston debate was 3 days after the Jonesboro debate. Jonesboro was on the 15th of September. Charleston was on the 18th. In the meantime, both candidates paid a visit to the state fair, which was held at Centralia, between Jonesboro and Charleston. Neither one of them did any speaking, however, at the state fair. When they got to Charleston, Douglas was not on nearly as familiar turf as Lincoln was. Lincoln's father was buried nearby. His mother lived in Coles County, surrounding Coles County, in a log cabin. And he had a number of step-siblings and cousins who lived in the immediate area. Lincoln had actually practiced law occasionally in Coles County, and he was on rather familiar terms with many of the local attorneys. Coles County, in which Charleston is located, was intensely negrophobic. In 1848, when the inhabitants of Illinois had an opportunity to vote on whether or not legislation should be adopted banning the arrival of any more free blacks in the state, I think it was something like 95% of the local electorate voted in favor of that legislation. They wanted no free blacks in Coles County or the rest of Illinois. Charleston was one of the smallest of the debate sites. The population was probably in the neighborhood of 2,200 or so. But there were delegations that came from some distance. Some came from as far as Indiana. Lew Wallace, the author of Ben-Hur, for instance, was in the audience and wrote a reminiscence of the event. But both parties made extraordinary preparations. Both newspapers on both sides commented about how elaborate the receptions for the candidates were at Charleston and how much noise the demonstrators were able to make. One writer from the New York Post simply marveled at the enthusiasm over political events that Illinoisans seemed to be demonstrating at Charleston.
That's Rodney Davis of the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College. He and Douglas Wilson, co-directors of the Lincoln Study Center, are co-editors of a new book, The Lincoln-Douglas Debates, The Lincoln Study Center Edition, published by the University of Illinois Press. At Charleston, we are halfway through the debates, and scholars agree that Stephen Douglas is stuck on his one point, that slavery should be decided by popular vote. Lincoln still doesn't have a solution for slavery. It could take 100 years, he says. But in Charleston and the next meeting in Galesburg, Douglas Wilson now says that Lincoln is gaining ground in the debates.
Well, I think that one of the reasons that Horace White says that Lincoln was most effective at Galesburg is that because he began to get traction at Galesburg. Would you agree with that, Rodney?
Well, you know, I think he got a fair amount of traction at Charleston.
That's interesting.
Let's
hear the case for that.
Well, that absolutely is the most tedious thing to read imaginable. It does not resonate with contemporary readers whatsoever. It's precisely the issue that Doug was talking about a little while ago, about Lincoln's assertion that Douglas was involved in what amounted to a conspiracy in 1856 to foist a constitution on the people of Kansas without their assent. And Lincoln devoted all but the first 5 minutes of his hour-and-a-half-long speech at Charleston to an explication of that particular issue, which is just impossible for us to read nowadays or to make any sense of. But the thing is, people responded to it. They cheered. It obviously was something that that meant something to them. And Douglas is kind of defensive at the end of it. He says, well, I thought we were here to talk about the issues, and Lincoln's talking about a kind of procedural matter that took place 2 years ago. Lincoln got away with that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But certainly, the beginning with the Galesburg debate, we have Lincoln speeches being of an altogether different variety from what they had been in the first four debates. I guess one thing that we have to take into consideration is the timing of the debates. The Ottawa and Freeport debates are of a piece. They're somewhat closely related. They involve a certain amount of dialogue between Lincoln and Douglas. The Jonesboro and Charleston debates are also of a piece. They're only 3 days apart. And Jonesboro is almost 3 days after, three weeks rather, after Freeport. Things have changed quite a bit in that 3 week period. One of the important things is that at Jonesboro, I think for the first time you can say that Lincoln really begins to take the offensive, and he does it rather successfully. And that's what he's doing also at Charleston, is taking the offensive, however inelegantly, as we might see it now. Then it is almost 3 weeks again between the Charleston debate and the Galesburg debate, and the last three debates occur over a period of 10 days. They are also of a piece. To a certain extent, Douglas persists in giving the same speech, but to Lincoln, the moral issue, in his own words, just keeps expanding in his own mind. It gets further and further explication.
That's Rodney Davis with Douglas Wilson, co-directors of the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College, editors of the book The Lincoln-Douglas Debates, the Lincoln Study Center edition. Abraham Lincoln, in fact, said many things at Charleston that today would be seen as racist, that whites were superior, racial equality did not seem possible, but Lincoln argued those beliefs do not justify slavery, and before slavery could be ended, the nation would at least have to stop it from expanding. Next, the debaters head for Galesburg, and that is in the next segment of this audio series, The Real Issue, The Real Debates, a presentation of Knox College and the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College.